And I know our lines are that we are growing. And that is a growing part of that. And hopefully we are growing, and hopefully we are growing internally and externally, and then we are getting stronger and better, and we are able to bring more individuals in harmony and line with the body. And so all of those things, and we have a great history, and that's why we use some of those things, those words, but we thought, you know, here we are, how do you stay a true vine? You know, most of us don't have problems planting whatever it is, daffodils, and then seeing orange trees pop up. Or we don't have a lot of trouble planting one thing and it turns into something other. But I was reading in the Old Testament in Jeremiah, when Jeremiah lamented to Israel, he said these words, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth." That's wonderful. "The love of thine espousals," people that you had relationships with, "when you went after me in the wilderness, in the land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase." And Jeremiah begins to laud Israel and all the wonderful things that it was. And then he makes this statement in the 21st verse of that second chapter. An interesting statement. "Yet I had planted thee a noble vine, holy, a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me?" Wow. That's an amazing statement of, you know, I planted you one way and you've turned out something that I don't understand at all. And I know parents and grandparents and great-grandparents all ponder that question. You know, you try to raise the children one way, raise them correctly, and all of a sudden you see things and you're wondering, how did that happen? Where was that? And yet, Jeremiah wasn't talking about the lamentations of a parent to a child, and a wayward son, like we would go the prodigal son, wasn't talking about that, but he was talking about an entire nation, an entire people. "I planted thee a noble vine. I planted you one way, and you've raised and you've turned out into something else." And so I thought, well, you know, how do we stop? How do we stay a true vine? In this hour, you know, I guess we can be planted one way and turn out another way. And you say, well, I don't know how does that happen? So I thought, well, let's go fast forward a few hundred years from when Jeremiah wrote, and let's zip into the New Testament and let's see what Jesus had to say about staying a true vine or being planted or all of those wonderful things. And so if you turn to the book of, John, the 15th chapter, you will read these words. Jesus said them, "I am the" what?
"True vine.
And my Father is the husbandman." That's how he opens that chapter. "I am the true vine. Every branch me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, whoa, that's how this chapter starts. Kind of heavy duty right there. He says, I'm the true vine. Father is the husbandman, meaning the gardener, and he is the one that checks if you're bearing fruit or not. If you're not bearing fruit, what does he do? Clip it, throw it away. If you are bearing fruit, he purges it so that you bear more fruit. Either way, you're going to feel a little pressure. You're going to feel the knife. You're going to feel the clippers. Ooh. You say, well, I don't know. And I've had people say, well, I don't understand. I can't understand why I'm going through it. I can't understand why I'm overwhelmed. I can't. Well, is it I'm not bearing fruit? Or is it that he wants me to bear more fruit? Wow. I don't know. So let's keep reading. We'll just kind of try to figure out. And here was a picture of a wonderful grape orchard that I envision one day I would like to have, but it's a struggle. Anyway, he goes on. Third verse of St. John the 15th chapter. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You're clean through that word. The word will cleanse you. When you have, you say, well, you know, I don't understand. And if there's always Job's comforters, there's always people that will tell you, well, let me tell you why this is happening. This is what's going on. That's what's going on. But look for the word to cleanse your heart and your mind and say, I want to stay a true vine. I want to stay a true vine. And I know. We, you know, bless her heart, Sister Linda Walker's here, and she lost her brother, and we prayed, had prayer this, you know, for her. And we've all looked around, and I know Sister Bertie Cole is here, and she's talked to me numerous times about things that she's gone through. And people go through things, and immediately the enemy likes to plant a thought in my head. Well, this is why it's happening, or that's why it's happening, or you were not good, or this is why. But you know what? He said the cleaning comes through the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God. This is why it's so important that I am ingesting the Word, reading the Word, listening to the Word, absorbing the Word. Why? Because I cannot listen to all the other voices out there that try to tell you what's going on in your life. This is the time when you need to say, Lord, if this is you trying to get my attention, you got it. I want to repent. I want you to touch me. I want you to heal me. I want you to forgive me. I want you to wash me. I need your cleansing power. Because unfortunately, some of the stuff that's out there has spirits attached to it that are, as the Lord said in the Old Testament, degenerate. And, you know, that's why we as parents, we get concerned, you know, if all of a sudden our children start hanging around certain ones and they can pick up a spirit.
Amen.
And all of a sudden it changes their whole attitude and it changes the way they deal with things, and you go, wait a minute, I didn't raise you thinking like that, doing like that. That's one of the reasons why, you know, for many years when I was younger, there was a little bit of a stigma about our kids going to a public college, and even now, public schools, some of the messages that they're receiving and the things that they're hearing, parents are a little concerned because it's like, wow, I don't want to raise them one way with one voice in their ear and then have a whole nother voice coming and telling them this is what beauty is, this is what all the girls do, this is what all the guys do.
Think about it.
It's where are those voices coming from? What are they putting in their heart and in their mind? And what the Lord said, if you're going to stay a true vine, you've got to keep His word cleansing your heart and mind all the time. You cannot just say, well, I don't need the Bible, I don't need the church, I can raise my kids around whatever voice and they can, you know, it'll all be okay. You've got to have voice that's speaking truth and speaking what the Word of God says, or you will find that it will change your vine. Then he goes on to say, abide in me and I in you. Everybody say, abide in me and I in you. Boy, now that's like staying connected, wouldn't you say? If I'm abiding in him and he's abiding in me, that's pretty connected. A branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except you abide in me. Now, he goes on, and I mentioned this already. I mean, we've read a few of them, but he's talking about vines that have no fruit, vines that have fruit, vines that need to have more fruit, and then later in verse 8, vines that need to have much fruit. And so, it's almost like a progression. And you say, well, what is the fruit? Well, you know, we could find a lot of things in the Word that talk about fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of witnessing and inviting and winning folks and trying to be a lighthouse to people and bringing them to Christ and having fruit, etc. And we've got plenty of parables about, you know, the sower went forth to sow and some fell on good ground, some fell on stony ground, some fell on hard-hearted people, and then some produce 30-fold, some produce 60-fold, some produce 100-fold. So there's all kinds of analogies with fruit that we can begin to look at, and yet here is what he says. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Here he goes, he says it again. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If you're going to stay a true vine, you have to remember that very statement, and it's got to become your mantra. Without him, I can do nothing. The moment you start thinking you know what's best, the moment you start thinking, I know what I need to do, I know how I need, and I haven't run it by him, and I haven't talked to him about it, I'm in danger of not staying a true vine. Amen. A true vine stays connected to him. It's checking with him. It's part of the body. I know. We have a whole idea now and a lovely little culture that is brewing that I don't need anybody and I'm an isolationist and I don't need God's input. Well, I can talk to God, but I'll do it on my own. I don't really need the church. I don't need the body. I don't need other people. I know what's best for me, and this is all about what's best for me and what I want and what I need and what I should have and what I. We got a very humanistic, huh? Amen. Oh, I don't need that. I don't need. And Paul wrote about some of these same things. When you read in Ephesians, he goes through the fourth chapter and he says it like this, from whom the whole, what does he call us? Body. Fit jointly together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Wouldn't it be wonderful if your hand got up one morning and said, I don't want to be connected to the body? How would you feel? People just say, oh, well, I'll do my own thing today. My right leg decided it will just go on its own. Whoa, what's going on? He said, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, and maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Edifying of itself in love. In other words, the body is strengthening others, and by being connected. And I know some people say, well, you know what? I just do my own thing. And yet, what do I bring to the body? How do I, you know, how do I help the body? I can tell you, Sister Denise asked me a few weeks ago about, you know, teaching on Monday night because she's fixing to have surgery. How many years have you done that?
We're in our 18th year.
18th year, every Monday. Oh, we've missed some, and we've had sickness and falls. But why do that? I'm trying to be connected to help somebody,
right,
to be a part of somebody. Who's going to step up and help? Who's going to step up and be there? Oh, I know, I got my thing, and I'm already doing something, and I got, well, I know that. Is easy in this hour for all of us to think by my might and by my power, I can make money, I can do this. You say, well, Pastor, are you saying, no, I'm telling you, you can get a job, but you know what you ought to be doing every morning? Lord, help me today. Give me wisdom today. Help me to be a light today. I'm part of the vine today. I'm not working where I want. I'm not going to school with what I want. I'm not doing what I want. I'm part of a vine. I'm connected. I'm connected to a body. Well, it doesn't matter. He says, therefore, this I say, therefore, and testify of the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the what? Vanity of their mind. That, well, I don't need, I can manage, I can handle it. I don't need that. Having their understanding darkened, being what? Alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. You know, we're living in an extremely connected, inch deep, and yet disconnected world.
Yes.
Here he goes on. Because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, when you are not connected to a body, then you share no feeling with the body. Now you say, what do you mean? When you get up in the night and you stub your little toe, what happens? The whole body knows. Because it's connected,
right,
to the body.
Right.
When one hurts, all hurt.
Yeah.
When one's in pain, all in pain. And I know, you say, well, man, we have prayer requests and needs and praying. You know, I pray for Don and thought it was a heart attack, then didn't say it wasn't, and then thought it was a TIA, and then said, oh, are we living? And yet, Johnny, I don't remember what night it was, Friday night maybe, that you called me, Johnny P., and we prayed and asked the Lord to touch. I think that's when he went in. Well, I'm glad we have a body that we can connect with. I'm glad there's a body. I'm glad that I know there are people that are praying. I'm glad I know, you say, well, I don't want them to know my business. They don't have to know all your business, but they can still pray. They can still know all that, you know, because what happens is when you get past feeling, when you are only thinking about yourself, then you become very lascivious. What that means is interested in just me, mine.
Think about it, yes.
Whatever feels good, I want to do, I want to have, etc. Because when you stop and think, could people do what they do if they realized how much of an impact it had on others? And I know parents use that as, we call it G and S, guilt and shame. But But yet there's an underlying truth of, do you know what you're doing to me? Huh? But I'm doing my own thing now, Mom. Doing my own thing now, Dad. I'm doing my own thing. So he goes on in Ephesians. Let me go on here. I know my time is running. But he's to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. Before this, in the second chapter, he said it like this. He said, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, and among whom you had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. That's the part of the vine, the flesh, that will come back, huh? And rear its ugly head. You say, huh? Why? Because it is part of our humanity to become fleshly, and we have to stay connected in order to keep that part. That's why Paul said there's a war going on between my flesh and spirit. And what are you saying? I'm saying, I don't know how you're connecting. You may go home, you may have a war room, and you may have a prayer closet where you pray through to talking in tongues, where you shout and dance and shout around. And I hope you do. I hope you do it 7 days a week. But you know what? There's just something about being part of the body, coming in, worshiping, taking 2 or 3 times a week and praising and magnifying God, that becomes strength for somebody else, can become strength for you. You can pray for somebody else. What are you saying? Because we, as by nature, now are children of wrath. By our nature, we are not people that are able to live a godly, wonderful. I know, I want everybody to just be wonderful and peace and love and joy and be kind to one another. And I'm sorry, folks. You got to stay full of the Holy Ghost to even get close to that.
Yes.
And you say, well, I want to be a true vine. He said, we're not like the others. Let me go on here. He says, even as others. And he says, you hath he quickened to get us. Notice what he says, as others. And then from verse 4 to 22 in Ephesians, if you read it, he starts saying these words, together, 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 together. He says, hath quickened us together, hath raised us together, hath made us sit together. You were aliens and strangers, having no hope, without God. No, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household. What does that mean? The family of God. Household is a family. And all the building, fitly framed together, builded together, habitation of God through the Spirit. That's why you need the body. You say, well, I know, I'm preaching to the choir. We're here on Sunday morning. God bless us all. Stay connected. Keep your children connected. Stay apart. Do what you can. Come. Be, do. You say, oh, I can't be at every event. I get it. I understand that. But as much as you can, stay connected. Pray for somebody. Take a sheet home. I listen on Friday mornings, and people are having those prayer lists, and they're walking around praying. Why? Some of them, they're like me. I don't even know who that is. Well, who in the world is Joel Shamblin? Joel Shamblin? Well, that happens to be Joyce Hikes' father. Still needs prayer. He's in. Who is Joel Shamblin? But Lord, touch Joel Shamblin. What are you doing? I'm trying to stay connected. I know somebody in the church. That's important prayer for me to say. I'm connected to the body. You say, well, I don't really need anybody. I don't like to be part of that group. And then, you know, that'll make me, then they'll ask me to do something. Well, God forbid that happens. Lord bless you. We'll just tell me. Say, look, I'll stay connected, but don't ask me to ever do anything. Okay, I'll be glad to try to not ask you to do anything. But there's a whole strength in being connected that you're going to miss out when you're not connected. And so he said, that's how you stay part of the vine. Let's go back to John 15th chapter. I know it's a long chapter, but I believe it or not, I don't even have it all written down. In verse 6, he says, if you abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather and cast them into the, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, there's the words again, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. What a privilege. You say, well, I have been connected, and then I prayed, and the Lord didn't answer my prayer. Well, I'm sure he will if you disconnect. I'm sure there's a whole lot better chance if you don't know him at all that he'll talk to you and answer your prayer. Here was a promise. If you, my words abide, so that's why we keep filling up with the word. Lord, I want you to fill. And you know what? Before long, you will find that some of the prayers that you may have been asking for might have been for your flesh and not. And the Lord will start correcting it. You know, that new Lamborghini or that new Porsche or that new thing that you wanted, that you really were wondering why God didn't answer the way you thought he would. And all of a sudden the Lord says, well, you know what? I really got something much better than that for you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Why? Because he wants to do something from us, and that is make us his disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. That's the million-dollar question. Will I continue in the love of God? Will I continue in the love of God? And I put here Simon Peter's repentance because I want you to understand how easy it is to become, if you will, a degenerate vine. I mean, do you remember Simon Peter, who he was? He's the guy that was fishing, and the Lord came to him and says, leave your nets, follow me. What did Simon do? Dropped him. Followed the Lord. Wholly followed the Lord. Went with the Lord everywhere. Did whatever the Lord said. He was there. He watched miracles. He had all these things happen. Simon was an amazing man that got revelation. He was one of the first to know who Jesus was. He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And yet in his own fisherman, arrogant manner, when Jesus said the words, I'm going to have to go to Jerusalem and be crucified, how did Simon react? Not so, Lord. I would never stand up in opposition of Jesus if it didn't cross with what you thought it ought to do. How you thought he should be doing, how God should be. And he had the audacity to confront Jesus and say, no. Oh, we would never confront Jesus with, I don't think you're doing this right. I don't think that's the right plan. I don't think I should be, no. This is not the way I felt like it ought to be going. And I'm not us, but Simon did. And you know what the Lord looked at him and said? Get behind me, Satan. And then he goes on and it all gets corrected. And he arrogantly said, listen, at the very last supper, he begins to tell them, I'm here to tell you something. They all may leave you, but I'm with you 100%. I am awesome. I got a sword and I'll go. I. The great Simon, he should have already learned that lesson once. Right. You're telling the Lord now? And he had, And the Bible says that Jesus, what did Jesus tell him that night? Not once. Three times. You're going to deny me. But you read Simon's repentance. And I didn't put it on your handout, but the Bible says that night at the fire and the trial, and the little girl comes and says, hey, you know, you look like you're... It's not on me. Don't accuse me of that. You know, three times. And the Bible says that when the rooster crowed, you know what happened to Simon? It says he wept bitterly. He began, oh, God, that thing that I said I would never do, I just did it. Have you ever? You say, but I don't want to have that weeping bitterly feeling. You don't understand, God. It really wasn't my fault that they were putting pressure on me. I didn't really do it. It's not me. No, he didn't pass the buck. He didn't blame anybody else. He didn't point his finger at anybody. He owned it all right here. And the Bible says he wept bitter. When you look, was his sin any worse than what Judas did? But the difference was, one was too proud to humble themselves and stay connected to the vine. And where's Simon? He's one of the first ones at the grave. He could have been angry. I don't know why he made me look like a fool. He made me look like a fool to that girl. That girl could have, he knew what he was. He set me up. He told in front of everybody I was going to. He called me out. He should have never said, Simon could have ran off with a list. At least I grabbed my sword and cut somebody's ear off. The rest of those namby-pamby wimps didn't do anything. I was the only one that had any grit in my gut. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm tired of all these namby-pamby disciples and following after this kind of a God, that person that they want to call the Lord. I'm not doing it. I'm just, the rest of them, they can do what they want. But I was the only one that was. I couldn't you have done all of that? Don't blame me. I didn't do it. I wasn't bad at all. I. Oh God. I don't know if he saw the look in his eyes. I don't know what he did that made him realize I've hurt him, but I've got to be connected back to him. He did not. He was still there. He would not. He did not leave. I believe that Simon was there and watched him crucified. I believe the tears were flowing as he realized, I can't believe I did what I did. I can't believe I said what I said. I can't believe. Oh, God, wash me. And guess what? It all happened that the Lord did wash him. In fact, the Lord brought him fish and said, Simon, what did he ask him? Do you Do you really love me, Simon? Because if you really do, I need you to feed my lambs. Simon, do you love me? Feed them. Do something for me. Help me. Simon, do you love me? What are you talking about? Oh, pastor, there is repentance. There is a way to come back from whatever you've done if you will just stay connected to the vine, if you don't try to justify it, and if you don't try to build a reason why, and I didn't do it, it wasn't my fault, I did it. Well, yes, I did that, but I was the only one. I was the only one that had a little grin in my gut. If you just leave it all and say, Lord, wash me, cleanse me, I need your cleansing. That's how you stay a true vine. You say, well, I'll never get off track. Oh, really? Simon sure did. Don't tell me you won't. Tell me how you know how to get back on track. Tell me you know how to get back connected. It's not about whether you get off track. It's about how you know how quickly you can get back connected and let the Holy Ghost wash you and let the Holy Ghost touch you. That's why he said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my, what? In my love. Let me show you the next verse, and I know my time. I'm going to stop here. Here's what he said. He said, if you keep my commandments, even as I have kept, my Father's commandments and abide in his love. That's the standard for abiding, keeping his commandments. When you don't keep his commandments, you're not going to abide in his love. You wonder, well, I don't feel the love of God. Are you doing everything he's told you to do? Because if you're not, you're going to feel like, oh, you're supposed to feel like Simon so that you'll weep and get back connected. Do you understand? If you did something and never felt, what would compel you to reconnect? If you just could willy-nilly do what you wanted and never feel anything, then you would never realize, look what I've done. I didn't even do it to him. It's not really my fault. That was some stupid little girl. Nobody knew about it. There was just some guys around the fire. We can justify it. Amen. Huh? It was all right. I didn't do it to Jesus. But when you've done it to her, and he looked across, and he saw his eyes, and he realized, I hurt him. What are you saying? He says, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And you know what Jesus says? These things have I spoken unto you so that you would be depressed? No. That my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Whenever I repent and I reconnect, I begin to feel the Holy Ghost. And what is it that the Holy Ghost brings? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. When I reconnect, I feel a spiritual peace. I feel a spiritual righteousness. I feel a joy. The Bible in one place, and I've got more verses. I'm through. I'm sorry. I got more that I could preach about joy. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy I have. When you come out of a presence of God, oh, you may still have to go to surgery on Wednesday, but you can leave with joy. There's wells of joy springing up. There's something about the joy of the Lord is my strength. I could talk about the joy. He said, when you stay connected, there is a source that brings supernatural joy into your life. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter how things are being overwhelming in your life, and you say, well, I don't understand why it happened. I don't understand. It's hopefully helping me produce more fruit, much fruit, fruit. Well, I don't want to have to bear fruit. I want to be able to get angry, shake my fist, point my finger, justify, blame, say it's not really my fault. I didn't do it. But there's a joy that being able to just empty out. Let the Lord wash you and say, I need to get reconnected. Yeah, let me tell you something. You're going to connect to something. You're going to connect to something. You know, that's fine. Somebody from Arkansas told me that they got $45 million in NIL money. I didn't even know what NIL money was. I had to look it up. And that Arkansas was soon to be the next powerhouse in basketball. They were excited. I was like, that's wonderful. We connect to something. Huh? I hope they're not depressed if they don't make it to the... I know none of y'all have ever been depressed when OSU... when Ohio State doesn't succeed, and I got all these fans across the world, and they're all dependent on their team to have a little joy. Yeah, we won. We did it. When there's the presence of God, it's saying, if you would just stay connected to me, you can have joy. No matter what's going on. Oh, you can still be a fan and you can still go to basketball and football and all the other. But you know what? There's a joy that comes from being connected, being in His presence. Oh, I know. You said, Pastor, I can find pleasure somewhere else. There's pleasure in sin for a season, but it does not bring the lasting joy of what it means to be connected to the true vine. You see, it's so easy to be disconnected in this hour. It's so easy to find fault. It's so easy to point a finger. It's so easy to get whatever. When here it is, Lord, I want to stay connected. Let's stand. I know. Even when they're not even a year old, they want to be connected. They yell and scream to try to get your attention. Yeah. I want to connect. I want to connect with somebody. Oh, we'll just leave her in a playpen. She'll be all right. You know, they tried that experiment I mentioned several years ago, back when one of the emperors of Rome decided that he wanted to see what language children speak naturally without any impact. So he wanted all the nurses to be silent, and he put children in a nursery and he raised them without talking. They would come in, they would give them food, they would not touch them, they would just hold the bottle down, put food. You know how the experiment went? It failed because all the babies died. There was no connection. It's called the worst in the history of the world experiment, the greatest misuse of authority. Frederick, I think, was his name or something. What are you saying? We have to stay connected. Reach up. Lord, I need you. Lord, I want you. Hallelujah. If you're a part of the vine, if you want to produce more fruit, I want you to take this Sunday morning as a moment to get reconnected. If you're already producing fruit and you want to produce more, I want you to come. We're going to open the altar. If you have not been bearing fruit, I'm here to tell you it's time to repent and get connected. You say, well, I'll do it later. Let me tell you, this is the moment, the true vine. Hallelujah, hallelujah.